Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults. Here are your hosts, Judy Davis and Sandy Fowler.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a community where we help you raise teens and parent 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. We absolutely love doing this podcast and sharing guests with you each and every week. And we know how valuable your time is. And because of that, we're committed to keeping this podcast commercial free. And you can help us do that by visiting mightyparenting.com/support and see the options for supporting us that we have there for you. I am Judy Davis, and typically I'm here with my co-host, Sandy Fowler, but today we are turning the tables on her. And Sandy is here to talk about a subject that I think at this time of year is so important to talk about, and that's how to make the most of the upcoming holiday season. Sandy is not only my co-host and business partner, but she has been a friend of mine since our college years. Yes, I just dated us, Sandy. Long before husbands, babies, and businesses. She has helped me and seen my family, both my extended family and myself, go through the holiday seasons with all the chaos and all the stress. She has her own experience because she's a wife, mom, and business owner with a passion for teaching people to make powerful choices that impact their lives and their businesses in the best way possible. What you may not know is that in addition to Mighty Parenting, Sandy guides parents and organizations to prevent depression, addiction, suicide at Dasium. And she is the queen of simple strategies where she walks people through the process of identifying, quantifying their highest priorities, and then making them front and center in their life, which is something that I use her for as my coach a lot. She has been quoted in LifetimeMoms.com and SheKnows.com and published in Mompreneur magazine. She is also the co-creator of The Keys to Getting What You Want, 4 Little Known Communication Secrets, and the creator of Calendar Magic, which is something that is unbelievably helpful in my life. But what you may not know is that Sandy hosted her very own radio show, and it was called Heartfilled Holidays, where she helped people find joy not only in their holidays, but she encouraged people to treat their everydays the same as they would a holiday and help them live the best life they can. She authored 2 books that use these principles that she taught to guide moms through the holiday season. And today we are focusing on revealing those secrets and finding out what she shares in her book, The Christmas Secret, why the holidays are so hard and how to fix it. So Sandy, thank you so much for taking the time to sit in the guest seat today.
Thanks, Jude. Yeah, it's been a long time since I've been in the hot seat with an interview with you. I do interviews other places, but it is really strange to not be your co-host, to actually be totally on the other side of the mic from you.
Exactly. And you don't know what I'm going to ask. So it's all good. So I was just thinking about this as I was prepping for the interview, and I cannot even kind of believe that the holidays are literally weeks away. What happened to 2018? I just don't know. And for my family and even myself, the holidays become this balancing act, which translates in my world to stress and anxiety. You know, it's like all of it comes from this need and want to create memories and make sure everyone has the experience that they are expecting to have, and creating these incredible, yummy memories and cozy nights that we're sitting by the fire chit-chatting. And that doesn't even take into account dealing with the sugar and the travel and the late nights and skipped workouts and all of the stuff that continues to happen regularly on top of all the other stuff. And I know I am not alone. So I'm going to kick us off with a question that I know we're all wanting answers to. Why are the holidays so hard and so stressful for people?
They definitely are. Difficult time of the year. And there are a lot of places stress comes from. But as we start digging down, because I am a huge advocate of, let's get to the root of it, because I'd rather fix one or two things that branch out, and, you know, and fixing these two things brings relief to like every area of our holiday or every part of our life. I'd rather do that than going, oh, I have this problem over here. Okay. And we tackle that one. Oh, I have this problem over here. We tackle that one. It's like playing whack-a-mole. They just keep coming up, right? Problem, 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 problem. So just in what you said here a minute ago, Judy, you hit on a couple of those root causes. And you talked about wanting to create the holiday that everybody else wanted, that everybody else expected, to meet their expectations.
Yes. I think that that is something that was mode operandum for years and years and years until I read your book.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing is, I didn't hear you say anything about what you really wanted or needed from the holiday season. I didn't hear anything even remotely peaceful, relaxed, or joyful in there. What I heard was a lot of, I have to do all these things because this is what's expected of me. This is what other people expect of me. And I expect myself to meet those expectations.
Yes, because the holidays are not about me. It's providing for everyone else and being joyous and giving and all of that.
And for some people, that could be a great holiday and that could be okay when those other expectations also match up with what you really want. Or if what you really want, what you desire most and what you love to do is meet those expectations, and those expectations aren't unrealistic. You know, when you come in with that sweet spot, that works. For most people, that's not the case. So one of the reasons, one of the core reasons our holidays are so hard is just expectations. We bring them with us from what we start bringing them from what we had growing up or what we didn't have. You know, not having things can also create an expectation of, oh my gosh, you know, we never had the big Christmas tree or the family around the fireplace or around the piano singing carols, because I see that on TV and that must be Christmas. And my Christmases growing up were terrible. So we must need to do these things to have a good Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether it's something you did or you didn't do, you create those expectations. Here we're talking about parents. So whether you're still married to them or not, your spouse, your children's other parent is going to also impact your holidays. Whether you're celebrating together or kids are moving back and forth to, you know, to fit into different times for family activities and things, their expectations play a role in it. And then you have kids and their expectations play a role in it. And then there are also our thoughts about what everybody else's expectations are. That's just a lot of stuff that makes a huge pile of stress.
Absolutely. And I think you explained it really correctly. It's not about one situation. It's the combined buildup of all the expectations and the mindset that disregards what we personally need. So I want to take a step back for a second, though. Because you didn't come by these strategies haphazardly. Can you share with us why and how you uncovered the secrets to having a holiday season that you actually enjoy? Because over the years, I've seen you really enjoy the holidays. And when they start to get a little frazzled, you switch it around really quickly. So I'm dying to know how you uncovered those secrets that you're going to leave.
Desperation.
Okay.
So, no, initially it kind of was. I talked about, you know, the expectations that we bring from our own childhoods. And when my husband and I got married, we did the same thing. We brought in my family's traditions and everything that I expected to do during the holiday season, which I loved doing. My family had a very busy holiday season and I loved it. Well, he had family traditions and things that he did and he loved it. when we got married, we never sat down and had a conversation to go, well, what do Tom and Sandy want? What does our Fowler family Christmas look like? Nope. We just said, let's pile it all in. And so for the first few years, we were trying to see family on two different sides of Michigan, which is not big enough for us to go, no, we can't see all the family on this, you know, everybody in the family for Christmas, either Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, whatever. We even tried doing Christmas Day. So we do like breakfast on one side of the state, and these people are unhappy because we just get done eating, rip open the gifts, and okay, we got to go. And the people on the other side of the state are unhappy because they're holding dinner because we're stuck on the highway in the snow. You know, instead of taking us 2.5 hours, it's taking us 4.5 or 5. And we're unhappy because we're sitting in a car. So we did that for a few years. And I started playing with switching things around a little bit. Before we even had children, I knew I did not love this running back and forth. So Tom and I did talk about it. And we said, there's no way we're doing with this with kids. So we just said, when we have children, we're not doing this anymore. When we did have kids, we quit the running back and forth. We followed through on our promise and said, our kids will wake up in their own house on Christmas morning. Anybody who wants to come can be there, but we're not running around. So without even knowing it, I saw the power in having a conversation, deciding something that's important to us, and then making that happen. But now we have kids, and now everybody wants to buy them gifts and spend time with them and all of that. So we were still doing a lot of running around, but we got a better handle on it. Now it was the gift giving that made me totally crazy, because I'm helping my parents buy gifts. I'm helping his parents buy gifts. I'm helping my grandmother buy gifts. Aunts and uncles are calling, going, what can we give these kids? And by the time I was actually going to buy gifts for our children from us, I didn't even want to. All I could think of was, what am I going to do with all this stuff that they get? Where are we going to put it? And that's not fun. That's not Christmas. That's not what Christmas means to me. So I don't know if you remember, Judy, do you remember the first year when I really started making what has turned into my Heartful Holidays radio show and the book and people begging for ideas about how to change Christmas? Our first year was that I talked to my husband and explained what was going on. And I said, what do you think about the four of us? We have two daughters. So what do you think of the four of us just making our gifts for each other? And he was not real crazy about it, but he got it. And he went, okay, we'll try it this year. And I thought it was going to be just, you know, the kids will color some pictures, because they were preschool age. They were very young. And I don't know, you know, we'd be doing like little coupon books, you know, where you give a back rub or I'll do the dishes for you and stuff like that. And what happened instead was nothing huge, but people started creating what I call Christmas magic. It was little girls giggling with each other as they plan the surprise gifts for people. It was my daughters locking themselves away in the workroom with their dad as he helped them build woodworking projects. And it was just all these little beautiful moments and beautiful memories in a hectic Christmas season.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do remember it, and I thought you were crazy. Yeah, to be honest. But now looking back, it was this foundation. And I want to talk about that, because there's a nugget of wisdom here that I don't want to get lost. Because like you mentioned, you think of turkeys and trees and bows and all these things pop to mind when you think of the holiday season. And what goes down in the reality, as you said, is very far from that picturesque thing, right? It's so disconnected.
Yeah, it's spilled milk and torn paper and trees falling over and family arguments.
And arguments in the car trying to get somewhere fast enough and all of those things. But one of the topics you discussed was the importance of uncovering your dream holiday. And when you started talking about your husband and the girls locking themselves away in the warm memories, all of a sudden, it was evident in your voice that was the dream holiday. So I need you to talk about, what do you mean by your dream holiday? Because it's different for everyone. I want the, I sit here and go, I want the formula, but it's a concept and I need you to dig in there.
Yeah. And what's interesting, Judy, is, you know, you asked me, how did you figure this out? Well, I figured it out by stumbling through it myself, you know, looking back and going, what did I do? What happened? Because people started asking me, like you said, they want to know, how did you do that? What happened? So I really started evaluating it. And then I started sharing things with people and I started watching and evaluating what happened with them. And here's what the deal is about your dream holiday. Number one, it isn't what you think it is right now. If I say, what's your dream holiday? And you answer me right now, that's not your dream holiday in the way that I teach you to find it. That's the beginning point. But what you need to do is go, number one, was your answer like, I don't want blank. I don't want stress. I don't want to have to deal with my mother-in-law. I don't want to have to drive here. You know, if there was a I don't want, that's not a dream holiday. That is what's bothering you about what's happening in your holiday now. So number one, if you're thinking of your dream holiday and you see don't, that's something you need to deal with, but it's not your dream. Okay?
Okay.
Number two, Judy, what you want is what you heard in my voice.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to make your gifts.
No.
And I didn't know that making gifts was going to get me that. I was just so tired of shopping that I didn't know what else to do about it. And I went, let's do this year. And like I said, I just thought we were going to make some coupons and color some pictures. What I got was an unfolding of my dream holiday. My girls are, well, one just graduated college and one is in, and we still make our gifts because that turned out to be the core of our holiday. It's not a requirement anymore, but we still do it. So your dream holiday is the feeling that you want to get. And that's what I help people find, is how to get to the feeling.
Okay, so keep going, because you got me at dream holiday is the feeling.
Yes.
But I don't know what feeling I want. So I know what I don't want.
You don't.
What do I do?
Right. And that's why we don't go, well, what do you want to feel like? No. So what you do is you sit back and you think about your dream holiday. Go ahead and go there. Then each thing that you say you want in your dream holiday, jot it down on a piece of paper. And then for each thing that's in there, say, why do I want that? So if I ask you, Judy, what's your dream holiday? And you say, I want to go to Fiji. I'm going to go, great. So you're going to what? Go to Fiji and do what? And you're going to describe that to me. And I'm going to say, okay, why do you want to be in Fiji? Why do you want to be laying out on the beach? Why do you want to not exchange any gifts? When you start asking those questions, it starts to uncover the two things, the things that are bothering you about your Christmas, mm-hmm, and the feeling that you want. You probably go, I want to go to Fiji because I want to get away from all this craziness. That is the most common reason people tell me they want to get away. Now, some people really do want, that's their dream holiday. But most people who talk to me about going away, they just want, they don't want to physically go away. They want to escape the stress and the chaos. And that's a way that they're thinking of to do that. And that could be a great tool for starting to do that. But that's not your dream holiday. But when I say, well, why do you want to lay on the beach? And you'll tell me something like, well, I just want some quiet time with me and Jeff. And I just want to be able to really talk with him and, you know, kind of share stories. Or maybe your thing was, I want a Fiji vacation, but you want to bring both your kids and their families. Mm-hmm. And so knowing you, Judy, I know it's going to be about family.
Right.
But what you're going to come up with is somewhere in there, what you're wanting, and this is, I'm taking some liberties because I know you so well, and just to show what this looks like, what you're going to do is you're going to start telling me stories about how you're connecting with your family. Now, mm-hmm. you could connect with them decorating a Christmas tree. You can connect with them on a beach on Fiji. You can connect with them sitting around the fireplace after a day of skiing in the lodge, you know, after a day of skiing at a ski resort. Mm-hmm. There are lots of ways to connect. So it's not the story that you tell me about being in Fiji, and it's not the story about being at the ski resort, and it's not the story about having to decorate the Christmas tree with everybody. The activities aren't what you need. The connection, that's the feeling that you're going for. And you got there by going, why a beach? Why Fiji? Okay, why sitting on the beach in Fiji? What are you going to do when you're on the beach in Fiji? Asking right. yourself those questions helps you find the feeling.
I got you. So it's not crazy for us to go, this is what I don't want. But what you're saying is dive in and understand the feeling you're trying to create, because then you can build the holiday that you're really wanting.
Yeah, make the list of the things you don't want, because those are things that need to be dealt with.
Right.
In order for you to not be miserable, okay? Mm-hmm. But that's not where to start in creating your holiday.
Got it. So I'm going to dovetail from that, because I know we could dig in and make a whole interview about that whole process. But I want to dovetail a little bit, because this concept of creating something that I actually enjoy is now very intriguing, now that I know that there's a possibility that it can happen without.
I'm going to interrupt you for a second. Okay, because what you just said is really important. You said, I know there's a possibility.
Right.
And that's the first thing I look for working with someone, is that spark of belief that you can do this.
Got it. Okay. So now I'm going to throw a wrinkle in the system.
Okay.
I have this idea and this possibility and this hope and this excitement. And then I go, but I'm already busy. The holidays make me schedule more stuff into our lives. Our routines get messed up, and we have to cram in all this stuff that I didn't have time for. But you have taught me that there is a simple strategy for stopping that twirl. Can you talk about that?
Well, we'll find out if I'm thinking of the same thing, because you're thinking of something pretty specific since you're talking about one of the things I've actually taught you. Mm-hmm. But this comes in a couple of ways, okay? One is there's this piece of taking the time to figure out what your dream holiday is and how to build that will help you figure out which of those crazy making activities you need to keep and which ones you can let go. Mm-hmm. Because the fact of the matter is that most of us don't have enough time in our day to do everything that we normally do, everything that we think needs to be done for the holidays. We really don't have time to do that. But we never acknowledge that fact. We just keep expecting ourselves to fit it all in. So, yes, I do use a simple strategy. And for the holiday stuff for today, we're going to super, super simplify this.
Right.
What I want you to do is get a calendar. Just print out November and December from online. You just need, you know, two blank calendar pages, November and December of this year. And you go through there and mark down the things that need to happen in your everyday life. And then after you get all that filled in, you start marking off the things that you need and want to do for your holiday season. And pretty much what happens is there isn't enough room, because we just think we should be able to do everything. And now, Judy, you said this was simple, and I'm going to turn the tables on you. We've done this, and I've done this with you. It's simple,
okay, so
but
it's not
easy.
Simple.
It's simple, but is it easy?
No. It is probably the hardest thing I do all year long.
But is it worth it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because there is, like I said, there is no way that I can run my business and do my life and have a joyous holiday season unless there's some wiggle room in my calendar.
Right. Because what happens, and this is part of what I teach in my calendar magic coaching too. And again, we don't have a lot of time, but there's this concept that once we understand it, it helps us stop procrastinating. What most of us do when we get busy is we just keep adding things to our plate and we don't actively go back and ditch an activity, stop a volunteering, say no to somebody who asks us something. We just go, I'll get it done. I will get it done. And so then we go through our day and we do stuff. At the end of the day, there's still the pile of stuff that's undone. And in some ways, you're okay with that because you know there's always a pile of undone stuff. But when the holidays come up, they add so much more onto that plate that there's a whole bunch of stuff that is truly never going to get done. Mm-hmm. What doing the calendar does is it condenses the pain into, you know, this moment in time. And yes, it is painful to make these choices. But what that does is it says, I'm going to, instead of getting a little bit of pain every day by looking at this pile getting bigger and bigger and bigger every day of stuff I haven't finished, and knowing, because we know it's not all going to get done, by accepting that responsibility and making the choice when you sit down with your calendar on that one day, now, yes, you're saying no to some things, but you're consciously choosing which things you say no to. So now you have the room in your calendar to do the things that you decided were most important to you. And so the most important things in your life are being taken care of. Even if the cookies don't get baked, that's a decision you made. And you go, okay, I'm making this decision. The cookies aren't going to get baked. But then you can tell whoever needs to know that, hey, there's no way I can make cookies this year. Just wanted to let you know they're not happening. But now, as you go forward, as you're living your days, you can actually get done what you need and want to do.
And that translates into a holiday that is less stressful. When you do set those boundaries and share the thoughts that you have and the what you're doing, you've alter the expectations of those around you. And so that stress falls away too. So it's almost this, yes, it is simple. It's not easy. But you know, when you asked, is it worth it? Absolutely. Because expectations are changed, boundaries are made, and those two things combined help you have that better holiday. And I know we're getting close to being out of time, but I want to just touch on the other biggest holiday stressor. When I think of the pain that comes with the holidays, I think of my January credit card statement and finances and gift giving. You spoke about how you changed it, but it just, when I think of gift giving, again, with expectations, how can you just give a couple tips on the person out there going, holidays cost me so much money and that's their biggest stressor? How did they handle that?
Yeah, two pieces here. One is if you are always shocked when that January credit card comes in, it's one thing to be spending money and going, yep, I know I'm spending more on these gifts than I thought or whatever. But what happens to a lot of people is they don't understand all of the other places they spend more money, that you spend more money on gas, you spent money on transportation to, you know, to fly or take a train or whatever. You spent more money going out to eat because you're meeting with friends. You spent more on your food budget because either A, you're entertaining, and or B, you're so busy that you do more convenience foods or more eating out. So one thing is to prepare for additional regular expenses. The things that we pay for in our day-to-day life, for most of us, increase during the holidays. So even if you've budgeted for gifts, you may get caught off guard with that. So that's one piece. The other piece is, yeah, it's, you know, gift giving can really sink our budget. And it can be a combination of exhaustion and frustration. You know, I'm too tired to keep looking for a gift for Uncle Johnny, and this is out of my budget, but I just can't handle it, so I'm buying it anyway. It can be a matter of meeting people's expectations, buying gifts that you feel like other people expect you to buy, regardless of whether it fits your budget or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it can also be in trying to trim your budget. You know, people look at us and go, oh, you make your own gifts. What a great way to save money. Only if you're consciously trying to save money. A lot of the gifts that we have made cost more than what I ever would have spent, because you end up having to buy the tools to make the thing you want to make, type of a thing. Or you trying to make it and you screw it up and then you have to buy more supplies and that. So the one piece is be aware that you're going to spend more on your daily stuff. The other piece is on the gift giving side, take a step back. And instead of just walking through stores and going, what will people like? Take that step back and really think through what makes a good gift for each person on your list and invite your family into it. It might be that, you know, one of your kids comes up with stuff that you never thought of, or someone else in the, you know, someone else in your family, your spouse or another child says, hey, you know, I could make this for that person. Open your mind to different kinds of gifts. Open your mind to giving the gift of you. If your family, if you're musicians, maybe play some music for somebody or write a song for them or take them to a concert. Do experiential gifts. Look at out-of-the-box ideas, different kinds of ideas. And there are a lot of things you can make and do personalized. You know, doing personalized audiobooks is a really fun thing to do. And that does not cost more money because, you know, you're working with things you have. But just become aware. And of course, there's the whole budgeting aspect. And I don't know if you want to go there today or not, Jude.
No, let's, I mean, I think you gave us so much to chew on there. I think that if we go any deeper, my head will explode when it comes to finances. And I have one final thing. I do know that if they want to go deeper, if any of our listeners want to go deeper in the whole calendar aspect of it, in the whole finance aspect of it, in gift giving, it is all in your book and it goes into details from that. So I'm not cutting us off without a way to get the information. I just want to put that out there. So, but lastly, if there is one thing that you wish we could all do that would help us in the next few weeks, what would that be?
Have a conversation with your family. Get everybody together or do conversations one-on-one, but find out what they really want from the holiday season. And when they say, you know, I want a trip or I want to bake cookies or I want to go cut down our own Christmas tree, say, really, what is it that is appealing about that to you? That's that why question. Mm-hmm. And you'd be surprised, as many years as we have done this, I was probably into, you know, 10 years of doing heartfelt holidays. So I pay a lot of attention to my family, what we're doing. Things that I thought were my kids' favorite traditions, it wasn't about the tradition. It was about something they got from doing that tradition. So when time got busy and we needed to cut something out, we could cut out something that I thought was a favored family tradition. And we could do something else like baking cookies because we could bring in the feeling that they wanted or the thing they liked about the other tradition. So have conversations, clear the air, find out what the expectations are. And one of those conversations is with yourself. It's what do I want? So in the next week, just a conversation about what do you really want from the holiday season?
I love that. And, you know, it is all about the feelings that we're creating. And you've given us some great nuggets on our mindset and how to understand what we need to get from the season, as well as how to handle expectations and a little bit about finance. So, Sandy, for our listeners who want more where can they get that?
Easiest thing is just go to my website, sandyfowler.com, and there is a tab in or a button in the menu that is holiday help. So if you're looking specifically for holiday, that's all there, including my upcoming workshop.
Oh, wait, hold the train. Upcoming workshop, are you going to dive into some of these things we just touched on?
I am. I decided to take the book and create a workshop around that. So right now it's looking like I have 5 modules. Well, I know I have 5 modules, but I keep thinking about adding some because I always want to give more. But basically it's, 5 modules that cover, what's happening? Why is this happening to us? And how can we change it? And then for people who, really want more than just understanding the process and walking through the steps, which is what we'll do in there. I go through the process I developed, I'll walk you through step by step, but then I'll also have a second tier for people who want to get their questions answered one-on-one, have some live sessions, as well as, of course, getting a copy of the book. And that is all on the Holiday Help page.
So for all you listeners who are sitting out there going, you guys are business partners. Judy, you had to know about this. That was a planted question. I got to tell you, I didn't know because we said something about her doing a webinar, but I knew no details of what it was because we do Mighty Parenting together, but her Sandy Fowler stuff, a lot of times I'm just her sounding board, and same thing for Direction Diva stuff. You're my sounding board. So I'm here going, sweet, because I didn't even know that was coming. So I am excited. And I just want to thank everyone so much for joining us today and learning some ways that you can make these next few weeks and the rest of this year just so special for your family. Sandy is an awesome resource for that. So I'm excited to have shared her story today. And want to thank you all for being part of the Mighty Parenting community here. We just appreciate you spending time with us every single week. And if it's your first time listening, thank you so much for coming. Today's a little bit different because we don't have a different guest, but we just hope you'll come back and hear some more shows. And for those of you who are longtime listeners, we just want to remind you that you are a mighty parent, and as crazy as the season is coming up upon us, know that you've got this with us at your side. This is Judy Davis, along with my guest and co-host Sandy Fowler, saying see you next week.